この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはニュースエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to a news episode on Japan Top
10. Hello, I am Connor.
And I'm Kuzey.
And we will be introducing episode 474of Japan Top 10 New Spring of 2023. And so this is our famous news episode, our new specials that we haven't done since last December, I think. But yeah, it'll be really cool. We're talking about a lot of news from May, but there's also some stuff from April and some of the other months in the season. And so I'm very excited.
But before that, we have some announcements to make. Are you an indie band or an artist that makes Japanese music and looking to be featured on our podcast? Reach out to our music director, Nola, by sending her an email at nola@jtop10.jp. That is nola@jtop10.jp. We may feature you on a future episode. See our website at jtop10.jp for more information.
And if you want to join our team, we are urgently looking for various staff members, including audio editors, content producers, and on-air hosts to join our podcast. So you can join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there. If you check out our website at jtop10.jp/join, you can get some more details on that for applications.
You could also advertise on our podcast. Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach out to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
And our last announcement, if you want to hear more music on our episodes, you can join our Patreon club at jtop10.jp/club, starting at just $1 a month, and you can support our podcast along with getting more music and insights to Japanese music culture. So yeah, those are our announcements, and I think we can get into the news now. And so first, we have our headlines from Japan. These are some stories that are kind of, they made like the front covers of like magazines and newspapers and have kind of been, I guess, more popular in the country. So for the first news we have to go through, you guys, is about the 2023 World Baseball Classic Championship. So Japan was matched with the U.S. Yet again for another World Baseball Classic Championship, and they ended with a win of 3-2. So this game drew much more attention than previous ones due to some very talented players from both teams that haven't been attracted to this before. Japan hasn't won this championship, which occurs every 3 years generally, since 2006 and 2009, and they won consecutively. And this was one of the most watched games in baseball history as well, which is really cool.
The game drew to a thrilling close when the two captains Mike Trout at bat and Shohei Ohtani pitching were facing each other. All three bases were loaded, and Japan was in the lead 3-2. So as long as Ohtani held off the other team's captain, Japan would have yet another win under their belts. This is exactly what happened when Trout struck out, and the game went down as an instant classic. This is known as one of the most iconic moments in sports history.
So Kuzey, I don't know if you follow baseball or if you have played, you know, cricket or baseball or any of those sports, but I watched some highlights from this game and it was like a really good game. Like, I can see why it's a classic.
Right. I mean, I've only played baseball twice, so I wouldn't exactly call myself a baseball expert. But yes, I can see why people would say that.
Yeah, I played a lot when I was younger. I played on a few teams and I still enjoy like playing catch and whatnot. But yeah, I always forget it because this happens like, you know, this event happened like every 3 years. And I think with COVID, it took a little bit longer for them to get it running. Like there was like a 5 or 6 year gap, I think, because of the pandemic.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, no, it seems like it's really cool because they have countries facing off against each other. And it's like it's not like the Olympics where like it's less like the Olympics because they have like the professional teams and athletes of countries doing this rather than just like maybe people who aren't from like the national teams. And so it's very competitive.
Yes, I see. So it's like different sports clubs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like I think the U.S. team, it was like, I can't remember who there was. It was one of the U.S. national teams that ended up playing. They were like really good the last like few seasons or so. Yeah, it was really interesting because like I was watching like the I was on YouTube and I saw like the last like pitch from Shohei Ohtani, and it was amazing because Mike Trout's like a really good like batter, and like he gets like a lot of like home runs and like hits the ball a lot, and so I think everyone was shocked when he ended up not hitting the ball, but it was a really good pitch, and so it's like watching two legends like play like a sport against each other, you know, like when you watch like Lionel Messi and like Cristiano Ronaldo playing soccer against each other or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I like the analogy. That makes it more familiar to me. All right. And our second headline reads, Japan relaxes pandemic measures. Oh, finally. The Minister of Health, Labor and Welfare, Katsunobu Kato, encouraged reducing strict COVID-19 rules by letting individuals decide for themselves whether they should wear a mask or not. It has been 3 years since masks became an international emblem of the pandemic, especially in Japan. This new attitude went in effect May 8th and is aimed to promote the return of daily life and economic and social activities.
And although it is still recommended that individuals wear masks on trains and crowded places, especially hospitals, other public spaces were given such recommendations as well. So students at schools were even told that masks would not be recommended as early as April 1st last month. And many companies have also begun to relax their concerns, leaving the decision to wear a mask up to their patrons. Although many of the employees that work for these companies still remain required to wear them as per company policy. And if case numbers surge again, however, it is very likely that the minister will introduce more strict recommendations. And so we're hoping that, you know, obviously the cases don't surge, because I think it was like January of this month, of this year, sorry, that they had like their highest like death tolls. And so they definitely aren't out of the pandemic, I think, because they've taken a bit longer to like start loosening these regulations. But yeah, I really do hope that, you know, the cases don't surge again and they're still able to, you know, like reduce like mask requirements.
I think the World Health Organization recently announced that the pandemic was over, the pandemic part, although COVID as a disease is still going on. Mm-hmm. I saw it on the internet, so not the most reputable source. Anyways, I've always found interesting how Japan had this culture of mask wearing when sick, that other countries, I mean, I could speak for Turkey. Turkey did not have that before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. People did not really go around wearing masks when they were sick. So, but I think Japan already had a culture like that. People always used masks in public transport and public spaces when they were sick. So I don't think the transformation was that hard for Japanese people. Mm. I don't remember where Japan was on the COVID-19 case rankings, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, because in the U.S. at least, it definitely has seemed like COVID has gone away. Like, you don't really see, like, case numbers or counts or anything like that in the news anymore. And I got a notification on my iPhone today. Like, there's this, like, iPhone feature where it, like, logs, like, you like, if you have COVID, you put it in your iPhone. And so, and your phone can sense other phones around it. And so if it sees that there's a phone near you that has, like, reported a COVID case, then it'll like tell you like you may have been exposed to COVID, and it just said that it's stopping that feature. And so,
oh wow,
yeah, like definitely in the U.S. it hasn't felt like the pandemic for at least a few months, which is I guess a good thing. But as you said, the disease is still definitely like existent and out there and affecting people in a lot of serious ways. And so hopefully there's still developments in like vaccinations and hopefully the cases, you know, lower a lot.
Right. But I mean, masks weren't a part of daily life in the U.S. either, right? Before the pandemic.
They weren't. And honestly, I'm wondering if they will be in the future, because I feel like before the pandemic, I think people would have looked very weirdly at you if you wore a mask in public. Like, if you're a doctor, it's understandable, but like most people aren't doctors here. And so it was very rare to see a mask. And I think it kind of seems like it's going back to that stage where it's like if you see someone wearing a mask in public, you wonder like why they're wearing a mask and like what's wrong with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, yeah, definitely is not normalized. And I thought they would, you know, I thought they would stick longer, but than the pandemic. But they really have gone out of fashion already.
But I think in some countries, people are still required to wear masks in hospitals, and that just might not go away. Maybe, I mean, it does make sense to reduce contamination in hospitals, if you ask me. But
no, I agree. I hope there's more studies done on masks as well, because I know the CDC was giving off very ambiguous like updates on like what was safe and like what masks were safe and which ones weren't safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really hope that they kind of figure that stuff out sooner rather than later, and like how effective they are. But anyways, moving on to the next point, there was actually illegally constructed explosives used in an attempt at Prime Minister Fumio Kishida's life.
Oh.
Yeah, so this was a pretty crazy event. Luckily, no one was hurt. Yuji Kimura was arrested April 15th under suspicion of obstruction of business for allegedly throwing an explosive device at Kishida, said Japan Times. So no one was injured, they said, but two pipe bombs were found with matching gunpowder and nuts that were also located in Kimura's home residence. And so this is, you know, at least for them, like some very strong evidence indicating that he had something to do with this.
And although the suspect has refused to speak with authorities, there are a few possible motives that could have been at play. For one, Kimura was unable to file for a candidacy for a House of Counselors election last year. He has also filed lawsuits claiming that some of the election policies, such as the 3 million yen deposit requirements, are unconstitutional. Kimura has also written documents criticizing Kishida's cabinet for their decision regarding the funeral of the late Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
Yeah, this was, I thought it was interesting that they tied this to the old, you know, to Shinzo Abe, because he was also assassinated.
Right.
That new piece was on the last news special we had in like December. And that was also very sad and alarming too, because, you know, Japan, at least recently, it seemed like it was like the US and like other countries that were having these issues of assassinations and political unrest. But it was very shocking to see Japan going through this as well. And now there's this case as well with the current prime minister. It's just very alarming.
I think Shinzo Abe's case also has something to do with cults, like, the assassin's motives. Regarding some cults in Japan. Although I don't know the exact politics. Well, I agree that it's concerning that people are doing this. I wouldn't exactly know what's causing all this or the culture behind this, but you're right, it is like becoming a trend.
Yeah, so with Shinzo Abe, it was because I think his mother was caught up in she gave a lot of money to this one like cult or religious organization, and there was somehow like something to do with like Shinzo Abe as well. But it was very sad, and I think the only thing I can say is like, you know, I hope the situation gets better in Japan, that people can, you know, at least like stay peaceful there and not get these issues, because, you know, so far it seemed okay. But I don't think that, you know, like assassinations are really the answer to a lot of things. But yeah, so lucky again though, like we said, Fumio Kishida was not injured, and so that was, you know, I guess a good thing.
Right. The Japanese Secret Service did their job, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyways, so moving on to our fourth headline, the Ainu remains are returned from Australia. On Saturday, May 6th, Australia returned four indigenous Ainu remains, which were excavated early on in the 20th century. Excavations were performed for more than 80 years ago for research purposes, and were sent to countries such as Germany, the United States, and Britain. Japan has been increasing efforts to bring back these remains for the sake of respect for the Ainu people, as well as for the harm that their removal had caused. Australia also recognized this and apologized for the harm that this displacement may have caused the Ainu people, hoping that their return would help amend the damage.
Yeah, and so the Ainu people, for some background, are indigenous to the northern part of Japan, especially the island of Hokkaido and their neighboring islands. They speak the native language of Ainu, and their total population now may be as high as 200,000. They prospered in Japan well before the arrival of the Russians and the Yamato Japanese, which is the largest ethnic group in Japan now. consequently, their culture was largely assimilated into what is now considered like Japan culture or Japanese culture. And efforts are now being made to restore and maintain their heritage, since many Ainu people do not know their own history or language. It was very nice, and like I'm glad that Australia had chosen to return these remains, because it was for research purposes. I think there was like that in a lot of cases they excavated like tombs to get these remains, and so there's like a certain level of like disgrace and maybe like meddling that Ainu people probably did not appreciate. Yeah, their culture really is like it's dwindling, and so acts like this is just kind of another way to boost and to maintain their culture and their heritage.
Right. I've heard that Japan had this homogeneity policy, ethnic homogeneity in Japan, in the post-World War II era especially. And so the Empire of Japan had their doubts with the existence of the Ainu people as well. And well, with many ethnic minorities, they have faced adversities, but I do agree that it's really nice that Australia has done this return.
Yeah, and I also hope that that the US and Germany and other countries also hurry up their research and return them as well, because they definitely do not belong in those countries.
Certainly.
So for our last headliner news piece, we have Ishikawa Prefecture hit by a 6.5 earthquake. So on Friday, May 5th, an earthquake with a preliminary intensity rating of 6.5 hit Ishikawa Prefecture. This incident left one man dead and 22 others injured, while several structures had collapsed and lots of property damage occurred. No damage occurred to any water, gas, or electricity lines. There was too much, and so there wasn't, people weren't like starving or dying of dehydration, and there was lots of help to the scene right away, because I think it was a relatively small area hit. But and also the nearby nuclear power plant in Niigata Prefecture was also okay and undamaged, and so luckily there wasn't an incident there.
Right, and although there was a casualty and many people were injured, Japan is really good at really earthquake preparedness. An earthquake of similar magnitude happened in Turkey, and 6.5 is huge when you consider the scale of the earthquake. I mean, in many other countries, the infrastructure would not hold on, but in Japan, all the water lines and gas lines went undamaged, and although there was a lot of property damage, Japan really knows to be prepared for earthquakes. I mean, there have been a lot of terrible earthquakes that have happened before, the most recent and probably the most devastating example being 2011. And yes, an earthquake of similar magnitude hit Turkey and devastation occurred, and tens of thousands of people died, unfortunately. And politicians brought up the example of Japan a lot. There are videos of 6.5 or like 7 points, whatever, earthquakes happening and no building going down, while buildings completely collapsed one after another in Turkey with an earthquake of similar magnitude. So yeah, it really does help to be aware that you're a country where earthquakes occur.
Mm-hmm. I think Japan, maybe just because they've had a lot of experiences recently, or also because they're very preemptive now with these things. But they also are on like alert for further aftershocks in the region. And like also let me know like tsunami happens. Like there is nothing, there is no tsunami. So a lot of times those will follow an earthquake, so especially if they happen like under the ocean. But more than 1,600 people and 740 households were issued evacuation orders because of this event. And so there is, significant things after effects. But yeah, I hope that other countries take an example, because like an example of Japan, and I guess help prevent, unnecessary deaths from happening.
Right.
All right, and so we will introduce our first song, which is Kimi ga Inai by Saucy Dog, and it was released on July 28th, 2021. again, that was Kimi ga Inai by Saucy Dog. So this three-member rock band started in November 16th, 2013, and after some personnel changes in 2015, it now consists of Ishihari Shinya, who does vocals and guitar, Ikizawa Kazuki, who does bass and chorus, as well as Seto Yuki, who does drums and chorus.
On October 15th of 2021, they were featured on The First Take, which is a studio that brings in popular artists in Japan and has them perform a best-selling song in one take. It is great media exposure for the groups featured, and I really like some groups' performance on The First Take. I have a lot of The First Take songs on my playlist.
I'm so glad you watched The First Take too. I thought it was the only one, but yeah, it's a really cool like YouTube channel, and like they also like release stuff on Spotify and other services too. But it's really cool because like you get to like see the artists perform and like be themselves and just do it. Like it's very authentic and like genuine, and so I really like it.
And Kimi ga Inai in Japanese means you are not here. So what do you think about the song?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like it definitely is one of my favorites, and the people I've recommended to really enjoyed it. I think that like I guess me with all Japanese music, like I have trouble like piecing together the lyrics when I'm listening to it. But like the music video and like the lyrics, like it definitely is, I like the instrumentation and I think the sounds really nice, and I'm sure it matches the lyrics really well. But do you know more about the lyrics?
I haven't really paid attention to the lyrics of this specific song, but from the title Kimi ga Inai, I imagine that they're sad. I mean, you know, there's this stereotype of Japanese songs sounding so fun or uplifting with the instrumentals, but then the lyrics are about dark things. Like a lot of Yasumi songs are like that.
Yeah, luckily, I think, like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Saucy Dog, but they do a lot of, like, indie rock music, and this one definitely is less happy-sounding and more, I think I can see it being a sad song.
Right.
But yeah, it definitely is one of my favorites from them, and I listen to it almost every single day now, so yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed it.
Yes. Saucy Dog is a great group, and I recommend you check it. Check out other songs from them as well if you like this one.
Yeah, I agree. And so, I guess going on, we will now introduce our otaku announcement section. And so, first we will open with gaming news. For one, Final Fantasy 16 is set to launch worldwide on June 22nd of this year. It has been achieving a lot of attention as it brings new characters, maps, bosses, weapons, and graphics. The trailers that have been coming out, especially those from just last week, look stunning, and it will be available to play on PS5. And I never played a Final Fantasy game before, but Final Fantasy 15 looked really cool as well. But this one, I might actually, like, part of me wants to buy a PS5, if that's even possible, just to play this game.
Yeah, I mean, this Final Fantasy game, Final Fantasy 16, will take place in another universe from the previous game, so it will be a completely new experience, and you will not have to have played the other games in order to enjoy or understand this game. So if you want to get into the Final Fantasy series, this might be a good opportunity for you.
Kusei, do you enjoy gaming?
Yes, I used to. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't really find the time to play a lot of your games nowadays, but yes, I haven't really played Final Fantasy that much. I only have like a couple hours spent in certain games. I mean, I know the characters and stuff, but mm-hmm. That's about it.
Oh, cool. That's really cool. Yeah, I agree. I think being a college student, it's very difficult to find time and energy to play video games because you're always busy with like studying and seeing friends, and so it's very difficult to find time.
Right. And on second place, we have Sony's PS5 shipments, which have peaked at over 38.4 million units worldwide for this past fiscal year that ended. And the numbers are steadily increasing. This is the newest rendition of the PlayStation game consoles, and after heavy shortages last year, they have finally caught up with sales. I don't know about you, you just mentioned that you were looking out to buy a PS5, but I'm an Xbox person myself, and I just recently got a new Xbox. And yeah, it was a little hard to procure. You know, when these new gen consoles came out, there were a lot of scalpers who bought them in bulk and sold them at inflated prices, which was really not nice. It's one way to put it.
That happened here as well for like PS5. And I also, like, I grew up playing the Xbox, like I think the Xbox 360. I don't know if you ever have.
Right.
But yeah, I played on that a lot. But I haven't, PlayStation, I think now they have a lot better games than Xbox. At least they have like exclusive games.
Really?
Like for example, this new Final Fantasy game, like you won't be able to play it on PC. Well, at least, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm like, right now, I think they're just playing on PS5, but certainly not Xbox. And so I think that's how they kind of get you. But yeah, I definitely prefer like Xbox, and like, I know like the Xbox controller is different than like the PS, like PlayStation controllers, and I prefer Xbox controllers.
Right, vastly different. And that gets so confusing, like the X, Y, B, A buttons on controllers. They always switch them up.
Yeah.
Nintendo has its own thing, Sony does its own thing, and then there's Xbox. And the colors too, it gets confusing.
I agree.
But the thing with Xbox is, although Sony might have their exclusives, which is subjective in my opinion, Xbox has the Xbox Game Pass, which allows you to play Xbox games on PC for free as well. And I'm a PC person myself, and I do appreciate the Xbox Game Pass. So that's sort of what pushes me to stay with Xbox and Microsoft. Yeah.
On the last point for gaming news, we have the Indie Live Expo 2023 that will air on May 20th and 21st, showcasing more than 200 titles. Many of the games that will be introduced have never before been disclosed, so this is an indie gamer's dream. Personally, I used to play a lot more indie games, but I've kind of been playing more like AAA, like games like Call of Duty and stuff like that. But I definitely would want to get back into indie games because they're a lot cheaper than other games now, and normally they're like very like good storylines and gameplay.
Right. You know, E3 2023 just got cancelled like a while back.
What?
Yeah. Apparently, a lot of big companies like Microsoft and Sony pulled out, and all the big game developers, and they didn't really have any content to show, and I think it sort of marks the end of an era. I mean, E3 was a big deal back in the day.
It really was.
People used to love that.
Yeah, it seems like, yeah, like I think that there's like a certain level to where like, to like how creative you can be in a certain genre. I think they're realizing that people want something new and that they can't make money doing the same things that they have done in the past, you know?
Yeah. And COVID might have also contributed to the downfall of Xbox. But it's nice that indie game developers have something to showcase their games.
Yeah.
And now we're moving on to anime news. The second season of Gundam, The Witch from Mercury, began airing on April 9th. In the anime's first season, Yoasobi sings for the opening team, and their song is titled Shukufuku. The second season, however, has attracted the singer Yama, and the team is titled Slash. I don't know about you, but I always appreciate the anime team songs.
No, they like, because there's like artists now that like are very popular among like anime, like Yoasobi. I know she like so they do so many like so many anime theme songs, and it works. And Yama, I think they've also done a few, but there was a you definitely play a lot of their songs on this podcast. Yama is very good.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, but then as for the Gundam series, I watched, there was this one Netflix Gundam series I watched that came out like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and I really liked it, but it was so short, like, because they're just like, I think the Gundam's like a very like sporadic and like fragmented series, like there's like so many different series and sub-series of it, and so I get very confused on like the overall plot and history.
Yeah, and okay, this is not really related, but it's interesting how we're calling it Gundam, but it should actually be Gundam, right? If you were to be purely speaking Japanese.
I would say so, yeah.
The same thing goes with that classic show, Shogun. like it's supposed to be Shogun. Yeah, just a funny little detail.
Yeah, no, there's like definitely a difference between like how like American English sounds versus like, you know, Japanese English, quote unquote. You know.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's always still, it's always for specific songs. I mean, specific shows.
Yeah,
it's not for all anime, as far as I can tell.
No, exactly. That's a
but like Gundam has become a classic, so maybe that's why.
Probably, yeah. But another news, Netflix added Demon Slayer Entertainment District arc to its platform on May 1st. And this is on top of the first season of the anime, as well as an adaptation of the film Mugen Train. And Demon Slayer is an absolutely gorgeous anime. It's so beautiful. And I think it's achieved a lot of attention because of its great animation style.
I agree. The visuals are stunning. And they've added a lot of detail to the fight scenes. I've read the Demon Slayer manga, and I'm sort of having a hard time catching up with the anime. I don't like watching the anime if I read the manga, so I sort of had to force myself. But with Demon Slayer, the visuals are so good that it makes it easier for me to watch it despite knowing the plot.
I'm glad you said that. I'm the same way. I don't really enjoy watching anime if I read the manga beforehand. I think Hell's Paradise, there's an anime adaptation coming out right now. And I've read most of, like, a lot of the manga a few months ago. And I can't really get into the anime. And same for Demon Slayer is a bit different because I watched the first season before I read the manga. But then when the Entertainment District arc was still coming out, I was really impatient.
Right, same here.
Really? Okay, so once I found out that the manga was finished, I instantly like went to it and just read. I went read it, you know, all the way to the end, and I was like sad, very satisfied. And so I was like, I guess I don't have to watch it anymore. But...
And for our third news, we have Eden Zero, which began airing its second season on Netflix starting April 1st. They also released a recap movie on the same day. There are four new voice actors for this season. And manga is inspiring both a console 3D RPG game as well as a version for mobile devices. So, I don't really feel inspired by all these anime mobile games that are coming out. But I don't know what you think about those. I mean, maybe I'm just being biased. I don't really play mobile games. I'm lucky enough to have a PC that can run certain games.
I always wish, like, because when I was younger, I always wished that my favorite anime had, like video games for them. But now I feel like the games they make are all kind of, like, similar and, like, not that quality. I know there's one for Demon Slayer that looks really good. I don't know if you've seen it, but yeah, there's this one for Demon Slayer that I think is for, like, PC and, like, maybe consoles, and it's, it looks really good. But besides that, the other ones, like, for, like, especially for mobile phone, like, very, like, they all, like, seem the same, you know?
Right. A recent One Punch Man game just came out, like, a few months ago. I think it's a mobile game, probably. But the ads for that are just hilarious. You know the Dunkin' Donuts ads with the... yeah, they copied that.
Oh my gosh, I love One Punch Man.
Yeah, same here. I'm currently all caught up with the manga.
Me too. It's so good. It was so good like a few months ago when there was... Well, I guess I won't spoil it for anyone. But it was really good a few months ago. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It was. But that one specific arc, the Monsters Association arc, lasted like for years. It was...
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Excruciating. Just waiting for it to just end already. But
I really hope they continue the anime like series, because I remember I was reading this a few years ago, like the studio changed between like the two seasons, and then I think like the new studio didn't make another season. So I hope that they continue it at some point in the future.
They did confirm that a new season would be coming really? out, but yes, but none of the details about the studio are out yet. I hope it's something good like MAPPA.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess from that, we'll go on to our next song, which is titled Nagisa ni Iko by the duo Bread and Butter from January 1st, 1979.
Big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Again, that was Nagisa ni Iko by Bread and Butter. So Bread and Butter is a sibling duo that has been playing folk rock music since 1969. The two brothers are Iwasawa Satsuya, who does vocals, and Iwasawa Fuyumi, who plays guitar and also does vocals. And so it seems they're very similar to like Simon and Garfunkel. And I think in this song, they actually refer to Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, yeah. I really like the song. It's very smooth. I find it to be very smooth. Nixaniko, I think that means let's go to the beach.
Nagisa is beach.
Yeah, probably. Like seaside or something like that.
Ah, I see.
And Bread and Butter have 18 studio albums in total, as well as over a dozen best hits albums. They were formed in Chigasaki, Kanagawa.
Yeah, I also like their sound a lot. I think it's very like calming, and like there's something about Japanese folk music that just really suits me. Like there's this artist Ayano Kaneko, and she is, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's very, I like her music a lot. It's very similar to this.
Well, then I'll have to check her out. Thanks for your suggestion.
Yeah, of course. Moving on, we will go to our music news. So first up, composer and arranger Masa Takumi won the Best Global Music Album Award for his recording of Sakura at this year's Grammy Awards in LA. This album included traditional Japanese instruments such as the shamisen and the koto.
And the popular group Baby Metal gained its third member, Momo Metal, after the long absence left in the wake of Yui Metal's leave. Momo Metal has been associated with the group since 2019 as a member of the Avengers, the backup dancers for Baby Metal, as well as previously part of the idol group Sakura Gakuin.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you think of Baby Metal, but I was reading that their new album that came out maybe a few weeks ago wasn't really like that popular at first, and maybe still because it's like people thought that it isn't really anything new. But yeah, so that kind of made me sad because I thought they were, you know, they are like a, you know, popular group.
They certainly are really popular. I still like their songs. I don't really listen to them nowadays, and I did not know that they had a new album just came out, but interesting.
Yeah. But then also, the Yomiuri Nippon Symphony Orchestra, or the YNSO, won the grand prize at the Cultural Affairs Agency's National Arts Festival in the category for Kanto Region Performances. Their concert last October 25th drew a lot of attention as they played the double concerto for violin and shamisen, composed by the recently deceased Toshi Ichiyanagi. It was a large success due to the conductor Sylvain Camberling's excellent skills at bringing out the YNSO's versatility. And so sadly, yeah, the composer Toshi Ichiyanagi, he had wrote the piece, and then he had passed away just before he was going to hear it for the first time. But yeah, but no, they're a very good group.
Moving on, we have the top 5 album releases out in May 2023. At number 1, we have 17, 10th mini album, FML by 17. At number 2, we have Mr. 5 by King and Prince.
At number 3, we have Black Star 4 by Black Star Theater Starless. Number 4, there is The Sound by Stray Kids. And then 5, there is Perfume L, first mini album by NCT Dojejong, which is actually a Korean group, I believe.
And our next song is Natsuyo no Magic by Indigo La Ant, which was released on June 8th of 2016.
なった 悲しみつまんで思いながら歩いた。打ち上がった花火を見て笑った君を思い出したよ。
And that was Natsuyo no Mejiku. Indigo La End is a four-piece Japanese rock band whose name was inspired by the band Spitz.
Oh yeah, Spitz. I don't know if you've heard Spitz. They have a cool sound.
Yeah, I haven't really heard anything from them.
I think they've done some stuff with some Japanese dramas before. The drama, when 99 Days with the Superstar. Oh, it's my favorite. I've mentioned it so much on this podcast. Oh. I think everyone who's like listens to all my episodes, they're like, oh yeah, Connor loved that show. But yeah, Spitz, I think there was a cover done on their song that ended up being featured on that drama. But they this group, Indigo La End, formed in February of 2010. And in the song's music video, the singer of the group, Enon Kawatani, sings to a girl during dusk while playing acoustic guitar, and there are fireworks, a Ferris wheel, and it is just a very magical scene. I think that the music video really matches the song.
So I think Natsuyo no Mejiku means summer night magic. Natsuyo should be summer night, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
Interesting sound title, but it also matches with the song.
Yeah, exactly. No, I also did the music video as well. Yeah, it's a very... this group is very interesting. This is actually one of the first songs I've listened to in Japanese before. So I definitely had my playlist for a long time. Yeah, maybe I heard it almost when it came out. So that's very interesting. Very nostalgic for me. But moving on to our seasonal news, where we talk about the festivals and holidays that are going on this month. Number one, there's the Tokyo 1000 Samurai Procession, which happens on May 18th. There are actually around 1,200 participants, and the event occurs on the second day of Nikko Toshogu Shrine Grand Festival. This was the shrine of the Tokugawa clan that ruled Japan between 1603 and 1868. At 11 a.m., participants escort portable shrines to a hall dressed up in traditional samurai armor. This demonstrates what it probably looks like when the shogun's army would march centuries ago.
It certainly is an impressive spectacle.
Yeah, I always like, I think it'd be like interesting to see just like so many like traditional armor, like Japanese armor and like warriors like together in like a big like parade.
Right. I've always been so impressed with the festivals they have at Japan. And speaking of festivals, at number two we have the Ninnaji Flower Festival. In Kyoto, the Ninnaji Temple is known for its beautiful cherry blossoms, including its own variants. This temple is actually the head of the Omuro School of Buddhism, and the festival's name is officially Omuro Hana Matsuri, which means the Omuro Flower Festival. Not only do attendees get to see Omuro Sakura, Somei Yoshino, and Weeping Cherry Blossoms, but the temple also opens up its treasury where national treasures are displayed. These include Buddhist artwork pieces.
Yeah, I was really excited to learn about this because I studied Buddhism for my college as well as my career. And yeah, I think it's really cool. Like, I think Buddhist artwork is very fascinating, and I know there's specialists who like just work with Buddhist artwork, but I'm curious what they have in their treasury.
Yes, and I like how some cultural elements in Japanese culture, such as the art of writing that they do, or like the sakura flowers, relate with Buddhist philosophy. Like the sakura are supposed to show the transience of life, since they're beautiful, but they also last for just a week or like a couple of weeks.
That's actually very beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice that they have these trees in their temples as well.
Yeah, no, we have cherry blossoms in the U.S., but I don't, like, there's never nearly as many as there are in Japan. And I know in Washington, D.C., they have a lot of cherry blossoms, and it's very beautiful when they bloom. I was lucky enough to visit when they were blooming. Yeah, no, I think if you want to see, like, real cherry blossoms, then you should go to Japan.
Right.
The Ninnaji Flower Festival. But then our third seasonal news piece is Higashiyomi Giant Kite Festival, which happens on May 28th. So in Shiga Prefecture, enormous traditional kites are launched into the air by as many as 100 people per kite. Not only are local kites flown, but so are others from around the country. The kites are made from tatami, an intricately woven traditional mat used throughout Japan for centuries. Each kite entry has a unique design, and there are typically other events that surround this festival as thousands crowd it each year.
Oh, I didn't know you could make a kite out of tatami.
I didn't know either. I was when I was looking into this, I was like, oh, giant kites, like it's probably made out of like fabric or something. And no, I guess they use tatami, and so like they'll paint on them and like they'll look very beautiful, but the texture of like tatami is like, obviously it looks very nice. And so I guess there's different ways to like fill tatami, and so it can be like really heavier, but it can also be very light as well. And so especially I think I saw this, they hold this like near the seaside, and so there's like lots of strong winds that are, you know, strong, powerful enough to keep the heavy kites in the air.
Right. When you hear the word giant kite, you think to yourself, well, how big could it possibly be? But when it says that it takes 100 people to fly one kite, I think that puts things into perspective a little bit.
No, I don't know how they do it. I'd like to see a video. I'm sure there's a video out there, but I think when I visit Japan, I'd like to come maybe around this time, so like maybe like May, so I can see, you know, maybe some cherry blossoms, but also this kite festival.
Oh, springtime certainly one of the best, if not the best, times to visit Japan. Yes.
So for our fourth song, it's going to be Midnight Cruisin' by Kingo Hamada from October 21st, 1982. We'll be right back. Again, that was Midnight Cruisin'. So Kingo Hamada became popular more recently due to his song Machi no Dolphin, which was sampled by Englewood and turned into an internet sensation in 2017. I don't know if you are familiar with, I guess, that song, but it's like kind of like a meme. It was like, do you know it?
Yeah, I do. I hear it everywhere. I mean, with this recent surge in city pop, all these songs, Mayona Kanadua, Stay With Me, you know, and Machino Dorifin, they're everywhere now. It's really interesting how old songs that didn't get too much attention back then suddenly became so popular.
Yeah, and so, like, although Kingo Hamada, like, he has, like, a very, like, nice city pop sound, he really, you know, wasn't that popular back then, and the really, yeah, he only the song Machi no Dolphin really is, you know, like, widely known from him, and so it was nice coming across this other song. Yeah,
and the lyrics of his songs are usually not that complicated, but they all have this smooth city pop like vibe, and it's. And Midnight Cruising was the name of the album and not just the song, and Machino Dorphin also appeared on this album.
Yeah, it's a very nice song. I think Midnight Cruising is like a very like funky, slow, like smooth song that I like to listen to like at night and in the car, you know.
Right.
And so I guess our last like news section of this episode are really just fun news stories from Japan. So in other news, Toracon, Japan's number one otaku dating service, introduced a survey that asked whether individuals would still be otakus even after having kids. Less than 10% said they would give up their status as an otaku. However, a whopping 73% said they would keep that lifestyle. They were also asked whether they would be able to enjoy their otaku hobbies with their children, and the majority said they wouldn't care. However, it was about tied for those who said that they would mind, about 18%, and those who would prefer it, 19%.
I wonder how their spouses would feel about their responses.
That's true. They should have. Maybe this was like. It would have been nice if this was like a spouse, like a couple survey. But yeah, that's interesting. I feel like I would not want to give up my hobbies after having kids. I wouldn't like force it on them, but I feel like it would be kind of weird if like we watched the same like series.
Yes, that'd be really weird. I mean, I honestly don't know my take on it. It'll probably be a while when I have children, and I still have time to think about that. But what I found interesting was there's an otaku dating service.
Yeah, that also. Yeah, we didn't even like talk about that yet. Yeah, no, it's Torikon. I think that's so cool. I wish they had like. I feel like that'd be very popular in other countries if they had like that kind of thing.
Yeah, but there are a lot of like mate cafe stuff in Japan. These rental girlfriend stuff. There's also the manga Rent a Girlfriend.
Have you read it?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Would you recommend it? Should I read it or no?
It doesn't go anywhere. It just
okay.
Yeah, but it's a fun read.
Oh, okay. Maybe the summary.
Yeah. Why not? Anyways, moving on to our next news. 10 million yen in cash was found in a dumpster in Sapporo, which is about 100,000 US dollars, I think, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate of conversion, just dividing it by 100. Yeah. I don't know how inflation has changed that since now, but that's a lot of money to be found in a dumpster. The money now belongs to the city. However, a trash collector at the facility was sorting through the recyclables and came across this cool surprise.
Yeah, I feel like, I think it's really cool that happened in Sapporo too, because like I actually almost went to Sapporo last summer to study Japanese. I think because of COVID, I wasn't able to. But yeah, I think Sapporo is a very cool city. I don't know if you've done research on it, but I'd love to go there sometime. Anyways, moving on. Now there is a cup noodle breakfast. So cup noodle was created by the company Nissin, which was the founder of instant ramen. And this time they decided to give the popular food a twist with American-style breakfast of eggs, sausage, and pancakes. This is a US exclusive product. And because of this, it is a very rare in Japan. One reviewer from Sora News, Seiji Nakazawa, thought it was interesting, but he certainly would not have it for breakfast. I think the weirdest part is probably the fact that there's noodles in there mixed with eggs, sausage, and pancakes. I'm kind of curious though.
Yeah. I can see how people would have noodles for breakfast, but it's just breakfast, American breakfast flavored noodles as far as I can tell. It's an interesting concept. It's like all those different canned breads they have in Japan.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, canned bread? Wait, what?
Yeah, canned bread.
Oh my god, wait.
Yeah, that's like a big thing. I don't even know why. I don't even know if anyone actually consumes those, but yeah.
No, thank you. I am curious though. Maybe I want to try it just because.
Yeah. And they have like 1,000 different teams. There's like a Evangelion themed canned bread that I know of. I don't even know why they do that. Anyways, moving on to number 4, the Kids Perspective exhibition that opened up last year puts its participants in the perspective of a kid. Activities at the Kids Perspective exhibition include wearing a giant baby head, eating giant cake, and wearing a very heavy backpack to simulate the difficulties of childhood. Time is also viewed differently here, where instead of using minutes, it is measured via fun. There are large silhouettes that are twice the size of an average adult, showing what it's like to be towered over by everyone around you. But honestly, I don't think children, especially like babies or infants, care about that. I mean, I don't know if babies really use their brains to analyze the difficulties of being a baby or a child and then compare their skills to adults. But it is a noble idea to allow adults to be experience the perspective of a kid. What do you say about this idea?
I just think it's like, I don't understand the purpose. Like, maybe to give like parents a perspective, because I know it happens a lot where parents forget what it's like to be a kid, and so they're very unfair. But and I know it is an exhibition. They also offer stuff for the kids to do. Like, there's also just normal sized food and stuff for them to do. So I think maybe it's like a bonding experience for the parents and the kids. But I personally would not want to go to this. I would feel so silly.
Right, same here.
But moving on to our last fun news piece. Lawson convenience stores across Japan are doing a crossover with the upcoming Zelda game, Tears of the Kingdom. Fans can now enjoy traditional cuisine from the Kingdom of Hyrule, such as spicy pepper-flavored fried chicken, the Goron spice dry curry, onigiri rice ball, and also raw meat curry bread. All these options are very cheap, ranging from between 100 and 200 yen. I personally am not familiar with, like, I only played, like, Zelda games when my friends had them, but I never, like, had them myself, and so I don't know what the, like, the lore is and all of that. But this sounds like a very popular or good decision, because I know this game has been, like, very popular recently.
Yeah, all I know about Zelda, I don't own any Nintendo products, unfortunately. Oh, I did have the Wii.
Oh, me too, anyways, me too.
yeah. All I know about Zelda is the princess and Link is the green guy you play as. If you mix those two up, then the otaku will come after you.
Oh my, I didn't know that. That makes sense now. Okay, my bad, okay. Thanks for explaining that.
Yeah, no problem. And now we're moving on to our next song, Tattoo by Official Higedandism.
Da, 憧れは時に憧れのまま
and that was Tattoo. This is the newest song released by Higedan, and even has a music video up already with 3.7 million views.
And the song featured the group in Guam, USA during a road trip. It is also the theme song for the TBS drama Pending Train 823, Tomorrow Kimito. Yeah, I really like this song. I think I haven't enjoyed their newer songs before this for the last like year or so maybe, but this definitely like reminds me of like their older hits, and so I really like it.
Yes, I know what you mean. I did really like the song as well, and it's interesting how many views it managed to garner in just a month. But
yeah, 3.7.
And they are a popular group, right?
No, yeah, they're very popular, and I'm glad that they're still. I'm glad that they're still together too. I feel like a lot of like really popular groups are like losing numbers, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I think that there is a lot of news for like spring in Japan this time, and it was very exciting. And of course, there was some bad news in there as well. And I think that overall, though, there was a lot of good things happening as well. And so, hopefully, everyone enjoyed all of the information. And the songs as well.
Right. Springtime is great fun, especially in Japan. It's sakura season. I certainly enjoyed the songs, and I hope everyone did as well. And now we'd like to give you some information about our next episode. If you're learning Japanese, like me and Connor are, and if you need some songs to support you with that, Andy and I will be here to listen to a music a week from now that focuses on learning Japanese.
That sounds fun. That sounds pretty good. I'll listen to that.
Please do. We're looking forward to having you in our next episode.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. Again, I'm Connor.
And I'm Kuze.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Japan Top 10.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save.